Welcome once again to Cortana's Communiques, a Halo podcast, a weekly discussion of the television series Halo on Paramount Plus, previously known as CBS All Access. I am one of your co-hosts, Philip, from the state of New Hampshire in the US of A, and with me in the state of New York.
Hi, this is Mike.
Mike, how are you, sir?
I'm fine.
Excellent. And in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Hey, this is Barrett.
Barrett, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good.
And in the Canadian province of Alberta, Canada.
Hey, everybody, it's Sean. I hope you're all doing good.
Indeed, indeed. All right, so first off, today is March 18th, 2024 that we're recording this, because sometimes our listeners like Pam are always curious when we release episodes, or I should say record episodes, because sometimes they aren't released immediately. However, this one will be most likely released on March 19th, 2024, so tomorrow, which will be hopefully today or after for those who are listening. We are going to talk about episode 7 of Season 2, Thermopylae, which aired on March 14th, 2024, or let me rephrase, dropped on March 14th, 2024 on Paramount Plus, readily available to stream whenever you would like. So what we do here and who we are, well, we are part of the Dark Discussions News Network, which is www.darkdiscussions.com. That's the network that the podcasters that you hear on this show participate in, and we do other podcasts as well. If we have time, we'll mention those at the end. But we do have an email as well, darkdiscussions@aol.com. Just put in Halo and the subject, and then whatever else you want the subject to be, and then we'll know it's for the Halo podcast, and we will read your email on the show. Basically because that email is used for the entire network, which includes other podcasts, but also all the marketing material and advertisements and release notices that we get. So your emails get mixed in with them. But if you put Halo, at least that word, in the subject, we can do a search in the mailbox, and poof, they appear in front of our eyes, and we can read them on the network.
Or I should say, why are you having them put Halo?
Yeah, that's a fair point, Mike.
Does that have something to do with this show that we're watching?
That's the joke. Yes, yes, we'll get into that. But all in all, that's who we are. We do have a Facebook group for the entire network called Dark Discussions Podcast Facebook group. So just search for that, request admission, and then join in the conversation. Anything that is genre related. So horror, sci-fi, fantasy, thrillers, techno thrillers, mysteries, grindhouse, art house, all that type of stuff, whether it's TV, movies, video games, books, comic books, anime, and whatnot. So, yeah, we talk about everything. It's basically cool pop culture. Oh, Dungeons & Dragons. There you go. You talk about that, too. Role-playing games. Whatever. But either way, we do have the website, once again, which is www.darkdiscussions.com. The podcast can be found on two feeds besides that website. It can be found wherever podcasts are found, under Cortana's Communiques or under Dark Discussions Podcast. So Cortana's Communiques has this podcast alone, and then Dark Discussions feed has all the podcasts that have all of the people here that you hear on this podcast participate in, including this podcast. Sean, what else do people have the option to take a look at on www.darkdiscussions.com?
They can find the link for Patreon, which is a way that people can support different creators. Click on the link, get taken to Patreon, and it's a way that you can financially support the podcast, because the podcast itself is released free across all the different options. However, there's a ton of expenses behind the scenes to keep everything going. If you're able to donate anything financially, even a dollar a month helps. If you're able to do more than that, if you're able to do $5 a month, for every $5 a month you donate, you get to pick a movie that will get put into a draw every quarter. that if it's pulled will then be done as a review either on the main Dark Discussions feed or one of the sister podcasts, depending where it falls genre-wise and all that fun stuff. Again, if you can support us financially, that's great. Understanding the times that we're living in, not everyone can. So even if you can't support us financially, you can still support us by sharing our podcast stuff on social media. And that helps us. And just thank you for everyone who's listened and given us the opportunity to be able to do this every week.
Indeed. That's all good. So please join us through Patreon, and we greatly appreciate it. All right, so that's pretty much that. And let me see. I guess that's pretty much it. So what we do here on this podcast here is we talk about everything and anything related to the episode. Since this is a television show, we're assuming that everybody who listens to this podcast watches the show, and you're here to hear our, I guess, thoughts, similar to if you read a review or a recap episode on the web or something like that. We're here to give our thoughts on the show. All right, so that's pretty much our house cleaning. So I guess we can get into the topic tonight, which is once again episode 7 of season 2, Thermopylae. And let's go with you, Sean. What do you got?
I'm going to surprise everybody and say that the episode annoyed me for the most part. There was some good stuff, but I found it, whether it's the writing or whatever it happens to be, it just takes me out of the enjoyment of the show. And we'll see what happens with the next episode. So I'm going to leave it at that for the moment.
All right, sounds good. Let's go with you, Mike.
Who's got blue balls? I've got blue balls. Who's got the bluest balls of them all? So, yeah, their whole episode about going to Halo. And then there's a coin. And we all know what that fucking coin means. They're not fucking going to Halo next week. That's what that coin means. There's going to be a U-turn. And their show is going to end up exactly where you said it was going to end up, with them, if we're lucky, getting the Halo in the last shot of the last episode of at the very least the season, if not the entire series.
Anything else, Mike?
No, that pretty much sums it up.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, for me, I actually kind of enjoyed this episode because we did see some iconic imagery of Halo-type stuff in a non-video game format. So we got to see the bridge and the halls of parts of what the Halo would look like as we see in the video game. So that was pretty awesome. So I enjoyed that a lot. So that was pretty cool. Generally, I enjoyed some of the stuff that we saw with the characters. Still not sure where certain characters going, but Mike, you may be right that they're intentionally knocking off characters, because I think Kai may get wiped out as well because of the
As long as we keep Quan.
Well, yeah. So, all in all, it was a solid enough episode, but it is unfortunate that we don't have the Halo. All in all, but I enjoyed it enough. Let's go with you, Barrett. What do you got?
What is not to love about this episode? We have no Halo. Master Chief, after a season of no armor, finally has his armor back. We have unexpected star chart experts. I mean, what else could you want? This was the greatest episode ever. But on a serious note, I was very kind of bored with this episode. You know, most of the time I like dialogue, but I don't know. This dialogue felt like it was just all for setup. It was like show not, you know, it wasn't showing me. It was telling me, everybody's motivations and stuff. I don't know. It just did not work for me. It was boring. I wanted to like it a lot more. The last two episodes I generally liked. But I'm, you know, we're down to one episode left, still no Halo, and there wasn't much that happened in this episode, honestly. So there you go.
I want to say it's impressive that we've gone 9 episodes in the first season, 7 episodes in the second season. We still haven't stepped on Halo.
Yeah.
I watched one online reviewer say, imagine if I told you before season 2 started, I said, how long am I going to have to wait for Master Chief to be in his armor fighting the Covenant? And I was going to tell you, it's going to happen in the first scene of the very first episode. Your mind would have been blown. But then imagine, at the end of episode 7, the last time we saw Master Chief fighting the Covenant in his armor was still the first scene of the first episode. Now, again, I don't really care about the whole armor thing, but except through the pain and frustration, I know it's causing a whole lot of other people.
Well, and even not caring about it, it still seems stupid. I mean,
well, it seemed like a giant cock tease to those fans.
Right.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I saw someone say, well, the whole journey he's on is to learn that he doesn't need it.
Oh, whatever.
Well, no, that's not that they just undermine that. They just completely undermine that.
Which we knew they would do, so there was no learning to live without it. I don't feel like he gained knowledge from not having his armor other than he could get his ass kicked really nicely.
Yes. Gets lots of scars, so good for him. Lots of bleeding. But yeah. Ugh. It does. I mean, again, I understand that these showrunners were bragging about not looking at the source material, but what the hell? And I mean, if we get to the point, like we've all mentioned, that we go to the end of episode 8 and we get the shots of Halo and then we stop and then there's no season 3. I hope that they're grateful or they're, very happy with what they've managed to pull off.
Fuck the writers at that point. Yeah. Fuck the writers at that point.
And the showrunners.
Now, I think to some degree I'm a bit Rubik cursed in knowing knowing it's various degrees of source material depending on which of us you're speaking to. And again, I know very little outside of the first game. But we know how many episodes there are. So the whole season has been a countdown. And after the first season, I think it's fair to say we kind of came in. I certainly came in with an open mind and I came in hopeful. But there was certainly all right, show us what you got.
Yep.
And we're more or less 7 episodes in and still kind of waiting to see what they got. And we're seeing that, like, they may have prided themselves on not having watched the series for the first season. And the second season, they told us, oh, no, man, we really listened to feedback. And I think we're all sitting there going, I don't think so. I think you completely misunderstood whatever feedback you were getting. Because whatever feedback you got the exact opposite.
Even with feedback, come on. I mean, you don't even need to play the game to know that the armor is important and, you know, the Halo is important. The whole show is named Halo. You don't need a game to tell you that.
No, you don't. I mean, but it's like, you know, when we're here in the States, we are in the silly season. We're in an election year. And I just kind of think, like, if I'm a candidate who's running, I'm like, man, I can't get any attractions in the polls. I'm doing terrible. I don't know what to do. I said, well, we did a survey, and they said you really need to stop talking about immigration. I said, all right, double down on immigration. That's it. I'm going to do that.
That double down on everything.
You know, they're trying to look, they're telling their story. I just don't think their story is good. Now, I will agree with Phil. I don't think the episode itself was bad. Yeah, I think I was fine. There was a lot of stuff I kind of liked in the episode, a lot of stuff that went nowhere. But they led us to a promise of going somewhere, and then I think yanked the rug out from under us at the end. They may be killing off Kai, or they may not. Depends on what story they feel like telling. I still don't know why they haven't killed off the characters we don't give a shit about. You know, there's the Soren story just annoyed the shit out of me. I don't understand the McKee story at all. And again, that might be my problem in that I don't know much about the lore here. But then again, it's not my job to communicate the lore.
Right. It's your job to just watch it and hope that they give you what you need.
Yeah. I mean, we can call up all the lore of Dune and Dune 2. And, you know, I read the book 40 years ago. I've seen the 84 movie many times. And I picked up things just as a science fiction nerd along the way. But I could say the same thing with Halo. So I could follow along and get an idea of what things are supposed to be. But I could also see them making efforts to explain shit to people. And I haven't gotten much this season to explain anything that's going on with the government. Let alone, how the hell is McKee still alive? And then, why is she still alive? And why haven't you killed her a second time? But there were things, I'm going to be with Phil. I like a lot of things that they did do in this episode. It's just, like I said, I know where this is going. We all know where it's going, which is we have one episode left. If this was a thing where I have no idea how many episodes are left and I'm just on board for the ride, you know, and then maybe the expectations would be dampened, but it's a ticking clock. And I'm like, guys, you're about out of show and you're taking forever to get to the point. And all this character development you've done, I'm not feeling a whole lot of character developments. Did you see a whole lot of personal growth from Master Chief, from Kai, Ackerson? You know, I'm not. From Soren backslid.
Yeah, big time.
I'm just
Karen Gosky is twirling her villain mustache very nicely.
I mean, yeah, Soren's all on to being one of them again. I mean, come on.
and the fact that they have turned the human characters, given the nature of the story, should be the conflicting, nuanced, subtle villains, the doing the right, wrong thing, maybe for the right reasons or out of desperation. And the Covenant should be the Covenant. They should be the Borg. They should be the fairly black and white bad guys, at least this early in the series. Because they're just wiping out entire planets worth of people.
But I feel like they're trying to make us like them.
Right, and they've done it. They're getting it exactly backwards. Because it's always hip and cool. To make it look, oh, look, the person you thought were the hero, they were really the bad guys all along. Aren't we counterculture, dude? No.
Can you outswerve yourself? Because it feels like this is what they're doing at some points. Is they're getting so smart with what they're doing, they're outsmarting themselves and they have no answers for their smart genius choices.
Right. And like I said, I don't mind changes. I really don't. I don't mind the lack of armor. I don't give a shit if they were using a 20th century weapon in a one shot in the last episode. It really doesn't bother me. I wouldn't mind Kai and Soren if I felt there was a point to their characters. Quan and Soren, sorry.
Quan was necessary to the episode.
Yeah, but why?
She's smarter than the scientists,
She's smarter than the scientists and she knows everything we need to know about a star chart.
Her role should have been Master Chief. They made Master Chief a chosen one. And then they decide to get another chosen one. And, you know, it's like, where they said, here's the Kwisatz Haderach. And so is Sally over here, who's never in the books, but she's also going to be the chosen one too. There's going to be two chosen ones to free Arrakis. It's just, God.
So I know we'll get into the episode itself, but I have a question for you guys because it was irritating me, and maybe it's just me nitpicking, being grumpy old man guy. But in the part where Genius Quan is leading everyone because the scientists have no idea of what they're doing, and she leads them into the laboratory, however you want to pronounce it, and they're in there, they find a person or alien, and Miranda says, automatically guarantees it's a scientist. I did not see anything actually stating that the body was of a scientist. Then when they're leaving, she does the tricksy thing of taking the alien artifact, slipping it under her sleeve, which, again, you don't know what this thing is. You have no freaking clue of what this thing is, and yet I'm going to put it against my skin and then do fancy running. And then I don't know why we hit it, because Quan disappeared. So I don't know what the issue was for that. And then we're going to have the situation where we're going to open the stuff. Now, I hope that it – and she does it safely that time. Didn't matter if she's carrying around otherwise, but now she's doing it safely with the gloves.
Did she? I mean, it's not like it's a gas that comes out or a dust. And my wife was even like, why did she get excited? She doesn't even know what it is. She's like, ooh. Yeah, it could be a plague.
My only hope is that it's the flood and that those idiots are the idiots who unleashed the flood. That's what my hope is at this point.
What else could it be at this point? I don't know. Yeah, was weird.
But how could it be the flood? Let me rephrase. It could be the flood, but it would only be were they actually on Halo, or was that on the planet they were on?
They were on the planet they were on.
On the planet on.
So the flood would only be on that planet. It wouldn't be on Halo.
Until they infect those people. And then they go everywhere, right?
Because it felt like they took this from Prometheus. They took the part from Prometheus.
Well, the 3D map was most certainly from Prometheus. That's true. But continue, Sean.
And then just the whole sequence of let's get the in Prometheus alien goo and see what happens. In this case, we get the fancy artifact that we handle, willy-nilly, because we just don't care about stuff. The only hope was that it was the flood, because I have no idea how they're going to explain the flood anyways, or if the flood will ever actually come to be.
We're not going to get a season three, so.
Well, yeah, so probably not. But at this point, them changing the origin of the flood or how they infect the planet and people and stuff. At this point, I don't expect them to rely on any actual mythos, because they've told us they've never bothered to learn it. So they could just take things and just throw it out there. And that's what it feels like.
Well, go ahead, Mark.
This is no longer the 1960s. Where you say, why didn't you do this? Well, we don't have the technology to do it, and nobody has the technology to do it. They have the technology to do it. It may be too expensive to do on a TV budget. Then don't do it on a TV budget.
Yes.
Right. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and Phil, I want to ask you. So you were probably the most positive of this episode. So having watched it, I'm trying to – I'd like to connect and understand what you liked about it that – took us somewhere worthwhile.
Okay, well, I liked the the elites and their fight. And I also liked how the elites were going after Mackie, and I was hoping she would get killed, but she didn't. And
that was cool. I liked those scenes.
That shows that Cortana's the villain because she saved McKee. That's my answer.
That's the problem is that I do love the Arbiter, and their development of the Arbiter is pretty awesome. I mean, they're using the Covenant language instead of converting it into English and using like Childs from the Thing, because that's who played the Arbiter in the video game, and Keith David, and but he's good, and he's beginning to act like the Arbiter from the video game. I think that was game number 2 or 3, one of those two. I like that. And then I liked all the things when Halsey, Keys, and Quan went into the door, because that was all from the video game. Not them going through the door or those three characters going through the door, but the whole room, the two rooms that they went into are two rooms that you would see right from the video game. So that was pretty awesome to see the blue bridge, you know, the laser bridge and the machine that turns it on and off. And then the metallic looking room after, when they go through the door, after they cross the bridge, and that looked just like the halls that you as Master Chief fight both the Flood and the Covenant. So that was really cool. That may be all I can say positive about it, Barrett. But those things at least reminded me about the game. So compared to all the other episodes, when nothing about the other 6 episodes this season reminded me at all about the game, because Master Chief doesn't even have his suit on. So all of his things were crappy. And then here, even though Master Chief wasn't there in either of the two things I liked, the two things were very much from the IP, and I excluding Master Chief. So I like those. Hopefully that answers something.
But isn't it also, and I don't blame you for liking it. I did like it that we finally got there. I was annoyed that they blew it up. That the reason you liked it is just because they gave you that cookie.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because everything else was so unfantastic.
Well, Mike, it's like last year when we were doing the Dark Discussions podcast, and every week, the movies that we reviewed sucked. And then out of the blue, we have a film that was okay, that may have looked awesome. And that's what it kind of felt like this. Those films that were okay, that looked awesome last year, oddly, I actually did awesomely love. So I wasn't really thinking they were just a little better, and then I was just happy that they were good films. I actually thought they were good films. Here, I'm not saying this episode was any better than any of the other episodes, but at least we got to see the cookie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the cookie.
Good luck. Yeah, and I mean, I like the lore stuff. It's just the rest to get us the lore just was not satisfying to me.
Well, that's fair, yeah. I mean,
I think it's this should have been a Master Chief and Cortana thing, not a Halsey and Quan and what's her face thing and Hale thing. And I think it's certainly long overdue, and it was a tiny piece of a thing that they should have been doing long ago. So yeah, I get credit for doing something. And there are things that I do like that if this had happened, I don't know, if we'd had this episode 3 episodes ago, I wouldn't have minded so much, because it's building towards action. But we're on episode 7, it's still building towards action. And people say, well, you just got the Fall of Reach 3 episodes ago. I was like, okay, yeah, that is true. They did give us that in a weird way. In a way, they found a way to give, I'm going to, and I was fine with it, but they certainly found a way to give it to to give it to fans that made it hard for them to enjoy it because they still weren't giving them the things that they wanted.
Well, this didn't feel like a penultimate episode, did it? I mean, didn't to
me. No, not really. This felt like maybe two episodes from it because we all know, I think, probably know what's going to happen, and that's that they're going to Master Chief is on his way to the Halo, and he's going to turn around and go save
everybody.
The characters that we really don't care about, and we're not going to get, and they're and the we're not going to get Halo. At least we're not going to beat the the Covenant to Halo. And I admit that's a lot of supposition. It would be really awesome. You know what? It would be awesome. I'll give him a lot of credit if Master Chief, like, we cut back to the next episode, Master Chief looks at that little coin and goes, sorry, puts it down and just goes straight ahead because he remembers what the ultimate mission is going to be. And that ultimate mission is saving humanity. But I think this whole episode was a lot about, like, loyalty and bonds of comrades and, you know, that's the only thing that explains the weird-ass turn they took with Soren.
Yeah. All of a sudden, he wants to be one of them again.
He's always wanted to be one of them. He ran away, but he always still wanted to be one of them.
Yeah.
Because I found out who I really was.
Well, he wasn't he wasn't a failed one because he left, right? He just was a failed one.
I'll be honest, I'm not sure of.
Yeah, you mean Soren? I thought he left because he was pissed that he figured out they were being used and he just wanted to get the hell out and live
and
a different life.
Halsey claimed that she let him go and it wasn't his choice, that it was her choice. Remember?
Yeah, that part I remember.
Right, and then it's, well, we knew you were going to leave. We let you go. And oh, yeah, now I want my son to be abused the way that I was. So,
yeah, that was really...
Because I knew I could stand with my brothers. And it's like, didn't you say you were, like, the only ones that made it out?
Right.
And, yeah, that's like, he deserves to know who he is. And if that's death, so be it. That was a terrible, terrible storyline. The Quan storyline I just take as, all right, this was exposition time. This was puzzle-filling time somehow, in a way. I'm not really sure they gave us many answers. They think they gave us answers. It makes it feel like they're on the way to getting answers, even though it hasn't led anywhere yet, really. This I don't know what the hell the Soren storyline is. I really don't. I don't at all get it. I don't know why we went. But is there any reason? Is there anything that's happened this season? Maybe something happens with Soren and his boy and his wife next episode. Was there anything that they did this season that made them a worthwhile real contributor to the show that couldn't have been done without them?
No, I didn't like their character at all. I think what they should have had was none of this side story with the kid, chasing the kid. They should have just had him, or even without his wife too, even though she was a good actress and a good character. But I would have streamlined it, cut them out completely, and have this rogue ex-Spartan suddenly, you know, it was fine that he got arrested or captured by a bounty hunter, and then brought back, and then he sees along with, you know, he's already the one that's anti-government Spartan crap. And so when Master Chief starts losing his faith, it would have been a perfect symbiosis relationship for the two, where he could have been the one pushing Master Chief along, and then Master Chief and him could have gone off together, even though his character is really unnecessary too, in the sense that in the video game there is no second, you know, Spartan that goes along with you. But if you're going to make multiple characters in a TV show, that's the way they should have gone with his character if they wanted this ex-Spartan captured and brought back. But instead, like we worried two episodes ago, they split him up again. And it's like, why did they do that?
Well, what was even the purpose of bringing him to Halsey?
Yeah. So that he could make one flippant remark when they were fighting the Covenant.
Knowing that they were all going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and I had no problems by the time that Ackerson brought them together for whatever reason. Maybe he was trying to get Halsey to talk more or something. But the problem was, is once they escaped, they split up again.
Well,
everybody split up.
Ackerson left 5 minutes after he put them together, so I didn't understand the whole point of that anyway.
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah.
Do you guys know what a backdoor pilot is?
No. Maybe. Was that like Maude for All in the Family, maybe, or something like that?
Yeah, right. So like there was an episode of All in the Family that focused on Maude, that was and one that was focused on the Jeffersons, and those were backdoor pilots to those series. Yeah. So it's a thing where you use the established series to say, hey, we're going to make a spinoff, we're going to introduce this character, and we're going to see if audiences like it. You'll give that character their own show.
Right.
This feels like a backdoor pilot that just isn't turning into its own show.
That's what they did with Dwight in The Office, and it didn't work, so they just left him with The Office. But here, I wouldn't even care about that other show unless they wanted to show that this is in the Halo universe, similar to like they're going to be doing that Dune TV show that has nothing to do with the main characters in the book, but just in the same universe, or what they do with the Star Wars stuff on Disney. That would be fine, but you got to establish Halo.
Right. So like the Mandalorian, I don't know for sure what the planning was for all the various Disney TV stuff, but it felt like Mandalorian was its thing. And then that was successful. I said, okay, we can spin off of this. And they went, and after two seasons of successful Mandalorian, they had spun off other shows that were live action Star Wars. Because Mandalorian sort of like served as proof of concept. Here, it was like, hey, you know what would be cool? Story about a rebel Spartan. Like, what about a Spartan who broke free of his training, broke free of the program, and went rogue? That would be a cool story. And you know what? It wouldn't be a bad story. It has its own thing.
He's been playing his own story
the entire series, except for like a few scenes where they crossed over and they inhabited the same space. But he's always been doing his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
He has done nothing at all to really help facilitate the quest of the Master Chief and the Spartans. He's been doing this thing to chase his son, which feels like an entirely different TV series than the one we're watching.
Right. Yeah, I don't know why, than the one we tuned in to see.
I don't know why they
went with Soren's character to have a son. I mean, I get the wife part because, you know, if you're in, but it may have been better if he was maybe a widower or something, where his wife got destroyed by some coveted alien or by the government or a freak accident or something, and they didn't have those characters and they just have him, and then he's even more sour. But to have these two characters chasing after their son,
the MacGuffin.
I guess that they want the son to become a Spartan again, and it's like, who, I don't even know who is running that program, because it ain't Atkinson. So who the hell's running this new Spartan program where they're taking children to convert them into robots?
He's worked his whole life, or maybe a week or two, to get this program going.
That's true, but I'm being sarcastic, but I don't even mean that. I mean the fact that, okay, he's created his own Spartan program, Atkinson, but he has nothing to do with Soren's kid.
And I'm just going to assume it's Paragoski.
Halsey has nothing to do with Soren's kid. So who is it?
Which Spartan program are they doing? I thought they were doing the Spartan 3s because they were giving up on the Spartan 2s.
Right.
Because they were all pulling their chips and they were not reliable.
Right.
And the Spartan twos, they were just going to, or threes, they were going to just send to their deaths. So it didn't need a lot of training.
So this brings up another question that I have, tying in with Ackerson, where he was so concerned about the Spartan three troops being basically fodder, sacrifices.
Well, he's known this plan forever.
So he's the one who was before had set up the simulation to trick the Spartan three soldiers that they could win.
Yep.
So how are you now? Oh my gosh, well, I'm so sad.
Well, like I'll tell you why. Because all right, they're still fairly decent soldiers, even if they're not, you know, super soldiers. So when Pat Aronofsky or whatever her name is decides to send them all off, and they all get wiped out as their ships, you know, appear in the area, because the Covenant just wipes them out. Ackerson is looking at that, going, "Why would you just wipe out soldiers?" And I know that they, you know, we've seen this in the past, where, you know, World War One, you know, we've just had people run through the minefields, and your fingers crossed that you make it. Or on D-Day, you know, you hit the beach and your fingers crossed that you make it. Or in Iwo Jima, or even the Iran-Iraq war, where they would just run across the fields hoping they don't hit mines. So these things happen in real life, but here, Pat, you know, we're talking millions and millions of dollars of property because they're spaceships, and it's not hundreds or even thousands of soldiers. It's tens of thousands of soldiers. So it's like, and not even soldiers, but also technicians and people who can fly too. So it's like everybody's just getting wiped out.
But he can't not know that that's the goal. Because
he does. He's against it.
No, but he's being a part of it too.
No, I think Paranowski, well, he even says, Paranowski, you can't do this.
And she but goes, he's acting not? Like he didn't know about it. He knew about it because he had to. The whole basis of the plan stands on sacrificing all these soldiers that he created, and that's why they're not investing in as much in them as they would a Spartan.
Well, I think also, he was planning on them being vested in a smarter way.
Right, and Paranowski, or whatever her name is, came out of nowhere, and then she even says, I'm not even part technically here or part of the military. I have full control and I'm not responsible, and this is my decision, even though I'm not responsible. So
he left the whole planet to be destroyed. I don't understand the sudden squeamishness about some people.
Well, and this is the thing that's weird is they kind of gaslit us because they made it look like it was Ackerson. And that was the one that was set up the whole planet to get destroyed, Reach, when it was really all Paganowski the whole time. And he was a pawn. And yet they're trying to, like, retrograde back.
Retcon,
that's the word I'm looking for. Saying that, no, it wasn't him. He may have said things to Keys and stuff, but it was really Paganowski, which it could have been Paganowski, but he's somewhat at fault too, because he could have done what Keyes said and said, fuck you. And the thing is that's where John says to him, he goes, I know, okay, this Paragonovsky is guilty, but you also have to pay as well, as you know, because, you know, you're going to be the fall guy just because you happen to be there.
But the fact that he couldn't even understand it, I mean, it's like, come on, dude, you were part of this whole thing.
No, and there's no argument of, What seems to me the logical argument, which is, this isn't D-Day, where we threw everything we had at the beaches. This is we're sending a handful of troops against their massed armada. But why didn't they use
the whole planet to do that? They had a billion people probably on that planet they could have sent to do the same exact thing.
Well, I don't think they could have done it with all those people. That was part of the problem. They didn't have enough ships to evacuate everybody.
Right. Well, they have enough to attack with millions right now.
No, they're shooting spitballs. And it wasn't like, oh, look, we got a hit and then everybody died. We just keep chipping away at them. It's going to cost us a lot. but eventually we'll win. No, it was like, you know, just like God shrugged and wiped them off of existence. There was, and said, oh, well, that was interesting. Let's do it again. See if it comes out better. This is the puppy attacking the big dog and not, and just getting his ass kicked every time. It was dumb. It was dumb on her part. It was dumb on his part. It was dumb that, you know, as a strategy, there wasn't even an attempt to argue it from that strategic. It was, I care about their lives, not we're wasting resources and this isn't going to work.
Right.
And again, the I care about their lives thing is, like we all, it's completely not where he was. And, you know, the idea of a good twist, and here's the twist. One, it has to make sense. And two, if it's a twist about a character either being a villain or being a hero when we thought they were the other thing, you got to make it a character we cared about.
Well, honestly, I've done better in tactical simulations than they did in a real one. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
So, Phil, I was going to say you actually beat me to the point when you were mentioning about World War One. And yep. for the Western Front especially, because I was watching Perengoski's genius strategic maneuvers, it made me think of Haig, and it made me think of Cadorna, who was the Italian general who also basically just threw thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of troops for no winning objectives. And it just – what is your, like, her plan is basically to wipe out a solar system with the explosion of the fusion reactor?
She wants to keep them from getting the halo because the halo is the death machine that will kill everyone.
Well, I think she's the death machine pretty much just sending her troops.
Right. She's going to kill just as many.
Right. And like, in the American Civil War, that was basically Grant. Grant goes like, fuck, we outnumber them 10-1. Just flood the fuckers.
Yes.
Right? And yeah, they're going to die, but we're going to win because they're going to shoot five of us and we'll still have five more ready to get that one sniper. Right.
And like the Civil War, it's you're going in with weapons that are far ahead of your tactics. You're still going with Napoleonic tactics, getting mowed down. And this is what they're doing here. And just,
no, this was I in no way, shape, or form pretend to be a tactical genius, but even I could go, excuse me, ma'am. I know you're officially not in charge, but for some reason people are following your fucking orders, and your fucking orders are stupid. And honestly, that's where I would have, like, oh, if you're not official, if you're not part of the ONI, fuck you, you're fired.
Yeah.
Get her ass out of here. She's getting our people killed.
So she's not part of the UNSC. She's not part of the ONI. Who the
fuck? Officially, plausible deniability.
Is there plausible deniability for the writers? Because that would be fantastic as well at this point. Ugh. And again, let me reiterate, because I know we've talked about this before. I have nothing against the actors in the series. They are only working with the terrible storylines and writing that they are giving. They are doing the best they can. And please know, if anyone was happening to listen from the show, actors, I have no issues with you. You're doing your best. I feel for you in regards to what you're having to work with. Showrunners.
No, I've liked the actors across the board. I can't think of any actors in the show that I haven't liked, especially if I've gotten a prolonged exposure to them. Like, I didn't get enough of the woman in red who was she completely absent this episode?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, after leading Quan to the thing, even though she had never met Quan before, Quan knew who she was and knew to follow her. This is like Obi-Wan dying and just appearing to some random character as a force ghost, you know, to an Ewok. You know, it's like, no, they don't know who you are. Why are they going to follow you?
It was it was the planet talking to her in the form of that woman.
Yes. Another issue I have is Captain Briggs, the woman who was trying to take down the chief. How is she killing troops when all it takes is someone saying a couple of lines and your troops are like, oh, you're done.
Like, that's what I was actually glad to see that, because at least it was a day late and a dollar short.
Right.
That's what I said last week. It's like, you're having to kill fucking Captain America here, sir.
I think they heard you, Mike, and they actually did that purposely. They re-recorded that part, and they were like, this.
Yeah, for Sean, they were trying to kill, like, I don't know, Deadpool? Wolverine? I'm not sure. Guardian, Vindicator, Puck, one of the Alpha Flight people.
All those damn Canadian teams.
Hey, yeah, we're trying. And you've got to have Wolverine, so don't even say anything to me.
Yeah, no, Wolverine counts. If your country's going to have one hero, and you got Wolverine, you're pretty much, like, you're at least making it to the final four, right?
Yes. But yes, that scene just seemed ridiculous. And yeah, I get the point that maybe they should have, like, you know, pondered that previously. But just how they handle it and just how she's like, it just didn't make sense. And again, I know that people don't like to wear helmets or armor when they're going about doing physical things. But it seemed ridiculous that she just would not have, like, a helmet, possibly. She knows that the Master Chief can pretty much whack a whole squadron. And she's just going in there like, look at how poofy my hair is.
Hey, officers don't wear helmets. What are you thinking about?
Well, So, anyways, that was just like, that scene just was like another of those, like, oh my gosh. Like, I mean, it was fun to see her get knocked out by Kai. But now I'm sure she'll come back in the next episode and, like, screw something up just because that's what it seems to be doing in their storylines. But
I appreciated that there was a moment between Kai and Master Chief. I don't know that anything was resolved, but they at least aired out but you lied to us. He's like, yeah, but I had to do what I had to do. But you lied to us. So they at least cleared the air a little bit there. Even if I don't think they ever came to a mutual understanding, but these are emotionally stunted people anyway.
Right.
Right.
So we're still learning without their emotional shit thing, right? So, which seems to have been totally forgotten.
So,
yeah.
And oh my God.
I will say some of the special effects were nice.
Yeah.
No, the music was fine.
I think there were things I liked in this, and there were things that frustrated the hell out of me. And honestly, just the more I think about it, the thing that angers me the most is the Soren storyline. Because in one moment, they took this character's entire arc for 2 years that most of us really weren't happy we were doing it in the first place. And not only undid it, but reversed it. And, you know, I said this when we were reviewing the Monarch TV series, which, let me be clear, I liked a lot more than this, that it felt like the writers on like, episode 5 and the writers of episode 6 were not communicating with each other. Because some of the characters, like, motivations were changing, and it was like there was some lack of consistency. But they were, for the most part, minor and annoying characters that shouldn't have been in the show. But, and that's kind of what it feels like here. Like somebody new came on. It's like, oh, how about we have him do this? It's like, did you read any of the backstory? No. Does it matter? New writer. New thing.
So yeah, I mean, I agree. The special effects of this episode were really, really solid, I felt. And again, a lot of it was because they were the cookies. Stuff that we would see in the game, you know, and it worked. It did look really well. Now, the problem is why is Mackie there? Why is Quan there? Why is Soren there? And why is his story searching for his kid? And why is there a new Spartan 2 or 3 program with children? And if they don't explain it next week, then it doesn't make any sense at all, because it's like it's not Atkinson, it's not Halsey, and maybe it's the Admiral, or quote-unquote Admiral Paganowski, but she hasn't said anything about it. So I don't know if this is just going to be a do ex machina or something like that. It comes out of nowhere. A new character. I don't know. I just don't know.
My fear as well is that Quan is going to get to the Halo before Master Chief does.
Yeah.
Because I honestly think that would be possible.
Here's what I'm hoping for. Quan opens up a passage to the Halo, which causes a massive sinkhole that traps the Sorin family, and they all fall down the sinkhole and land on Quan, and they all die. And there's a portal there that Master Chief can then go find, and he can jump in the portal and leave this all behind. That's kind
of
what
I'm... Oh my god, that would be the best story ever.
That's what I would like. And again, no offense to the actors.
Yeah.
Sure, but much offense to the writers, because you're offending me. I want to be really clear here. I often give a lot of credit to the writers in Hollywood. A lot of them are really very talented people. A lot of them are put under the gun and working under a lot of pressure, and they can do stuff and write stuff that I probably can't. And I'm well aware of that. But there's also just basic fundamentals. You know, if I see an architect put up a shitty building that's falling over, they're a better architect than I am. But I'm also, there's a reason I'm not getting paid to do the job, right? And they are.
Well, right. and you have the right to be a Monday morning quarterback.
Right. I have never claimed, look, I'm half Irish. I've never claimed to be able to cook well.
But I bet you can drink.
Yeah. That doesn't mean that I can't go to a restaurant and complain about a shitty meal.
Right.
This is failing storytelling at a basic level. And we've seen this happen in a number of things. Sometimes huge budget production films miss really obvious things. Like they take for granted that you're going to care about a character, or they just didn't remember to put in an arc for a character. or my favorite, you know, like the first Spider-Man movie. If you know, the Green Goblin has literally no plan. He blows up his board of directors, and then he wants Spider-Man to join him. But what he wants Spider-Man to join him doing, they never really make
clear. He's chaotic, man. He's chaotic.
He's just fun. I just want to fuck with people. It's like that's not a plan. That's not. It doesn't make. And you just know. It was just there's no plan to what you're doing.
Do I look like a guy who has plans?
Yeah, well, that's
the commissioner has plans.
But he had plans. That's the thing, he had plans. So this happens. This happens in stuff, but it's also not entertaining enough for me to say, you know what, that doesn't make any sense, but I'm enjoying the hell out of the story. You know, and like Shyamalan, sometimes his plot twist makes no sense, but I tend to enjoy the story getting to the plot twist. Here, I think, you know, there's only so many times we can keep coming back for me to come to the same conclusion. There should have been a movie. All these problems could have been solved if we had just made it a freaking movie and focused on the things and characters the fans actually wanted to see. It would have been fan service. It would not have been great art. It would not have been ambitious. You would have had no chance of winning any awards whatsoever for your deep themes and your complex characters and all this other stuff that wins you accolades.
But special effects and all that stuff.
But you would have made fans happy. You would have made a lot of money for your studio. And you wouldn't ruin your reputation by being the people who killed Halo.
Well, let's be honest. Would we really miss anything if we didn't have the first season?
This would have could got be our the, time back.
This could be the first season, and it wouldn't feel any different to me at this point.
Well, that's true, but again, I'm with Mike, which is I just wanted to focus on the characters we care about, and they didn't.
But there's no growth. There's really no growth in any of this. And that's a serious problem. There's no growth to the characters. There's just
I think the problem is season one and season two are almost identical when it comes to things because they both go nowhere, and they both don't show Halo.
Yep.
You know,
well, but they show Halo momentarily.
You know,
in a hologram.
But you get to have all these side characters who are so awesome.
And even if they do show Halo this season, for the whole episode next week, which they're not, but if they did, even if they did, it doesn't matter because we just wasted 7 episodes of no Halo and no Master Chief's uniform.
Yep.
So it's like
16 episodes.
So yes, exactly. So you get 16 episodes or 17. Because there were, I think there was 9 last season.
Yep, 9 last year and 8 this one.
Yeah, and it makes no sense. None of it makes any sense.
Well, you know what it also reminds me of is season 5 and season 6 of Dexter. Now, if for some reason you never watched, in the audience never watched Dexter, very simply as a serial killer.
Holy frankin' fuck, I've watched it.
No, but I'm saying just generally to the audience.
I know,
right? It's a serial killer who works for the forensics unit in Miami, and his sister is one of the detectives. And because he's a serial killer who's killing bad guys, but he's still a serial killer. And his sister realizes there's a serial killer and really wants to get him, not knowing it's her brother that she's chasing. And at the end of season 5, she catches him. Killing in the process of killing somebody. But if I remember correctly, there was something like there was a plastic tarp up or something, so she couldn't really see who it was.
That sounds right.
And in a moment of utter betrayal of her character, she realizes that he's killing a bad guy. And so she gives a little speech and lets him go. This is a moment the entire series has been building towards. And rather than reinvent the show, they found a bullshit way to keep it going and keep the status quo as it is. Right? And then what do they do the next season? The next season they have her find out he's a serial killer. In almost the same exact scenario. Yep. So then why did you do the bullshit thing in the first place? And this feels like exactly what you're saying, Phil, that they're going through this whole bullshit thing. They brought us to the point where we should have been able to get to Halo, and they went, never mind. We're going to make you sit through the same bullshit a second time.
Total.
So we can end
tease.
Up at this, and for a lot of, and we're gonna have you do it for just dumb reasons. We're gonna remove Cortana from his head just because. We're gonna bring this character back from the dead, because why not? This character has nothing to do with anything that's going on. We're going to have him still have nothing to do with what's going on, but he'll actually be physically present while having nothing to do with what's going on. This other character who should have nothing to do with what's going on, we're going to make key to the whole thing because everyone loves how much, you know, when we take an established franchise and just stick a random woman in it that has nothing to do with it to steal all the glory away. And you know, that never outrages people on the internet, let alone video game fanboys. They never get upset about shit like that. It's almost like they got together and they said, you know, I played Halo once and I went on the online co-op and they were mean to me. They really just sucked. I want to troll them so hard.
Oh God!
Let's make a Halo TV show and just fuck it up completely. We'll really piss them off. Take the helmet off. Take the helmet off like that. Ooh, no Halo, no Halo. Oh, I got to start. What? How about we put in a Mary Sue character to really make him not, and we'll make her Asian too, because we know they'll really get upset if it's a woman, but if it's a minority woman, then they'll really go upset. Yeah, okay, great, there we go. Now we got it. All right, what else can we do?
And make it a kid.
Yeah.
Oh, kid! We're gonna put
you
a kid
have
in there.
All aspects here.
We're gonna put in Wesley and Boxy, combine them together. We're gonna put them in the show. that'll be great. Oh, I know. How about we make a human the head of the covenant? Oh, brilliant. Oh, and it'll be another woman. Yes, even better. Troll the fans. And it's like, ah. You know, those fans irritate the hell out of me. They really do. And then sometimes I'm like, you know.
Sometimes you're right.
Yeah, sometimes you're right. Sometimes yes. You're absolutely right. You may be right for the wrong reasons, you know, but you may be right.
Well, maybe their reasons are more right than wrong.
Yeah, sometimes. But I'm just saying it's.
At least
you know,
in this case.
In this case, they're not wrong. The budget for this series is $90 million to $200 million. You could have put that in a movie.
That's a hell of a range. And, you know, well, and we just...
It would have been a really good movie, too.
We just freaking did Dune 2, right? In the main podcast. If I understand correctly, now this is a movie that is directed by Denis Villeneuve. And has Timothy Chalamet and Zendaya Christopher Walken and Elvis, what's his name, Austin Butler, and Skarsgård, and Dave Bautista. It's got Drax in it. It's got Chigurh in it, right? It's got all these known actors in it who I'm sure could have charged them a pretty penny. I don't know what they did, but could have cost them a lot of money. All these visual effects, shooting on location, 3-hour movie, $150 million.
Well, you know, and that's the thing is I noted in the past that the film Riddick was a pretty fantastically good science fiction special effect.
Oh yeah,
that only cost $38 million. And then we had Godzilla minus one. Thank you. That actually had pretty damn good special effects, and that cost like $15 million or whatever. So
it won that award that nobody cares about.
That is true. No one does care about it, and yet, but
it
still
won
it. Exactly. So the thing is. I think Game of Thrones had pretty damn good special effects too. Yep. You know, and their stuff was unbelievable, and it, you know, and so I don't know, and again, I'm not complaining about the special effects for this, but
and Game of Thrones stuck to the source material until they ran out of source material.
Exactly.
Then they had siege weapons outside the walls of the castle. Just saying.
So they followed the IP pretty well, and even the changes they made in the Game
House
of Thrones,
House of the Dragon's done pretty good.
The Game of Thrones, they got rid of Lady Stoneheart and they got rid of the Griff, and stuff, but it still was solid to the source material, and the special effects were good. The story was good. Everything was good. Here, I don't think anybody's complaining about the special effects, but they ain't following the IP. That's the problem. It's the IP. They're not following the IP. And I can understand making it in the universe of Halo, but that's what you do after you establish the franchise.
Yes.
And then you can do that.
Yes.
You know,
you prove it out first, then you fuck with it.
Right, like they did with Star Wars, and now they did, as you just mentioned, Sean, House of the Dragon, as they did with the Marvel TV shows. That's when you can expand and make whatever you want. But until then, you got to focus on the source material, not the universe that the source material's in. Especially, and then take the characters in the source material and not even have those characters doing the things that they were doing in the source material. So
right, and I think this had potential, but I think if they'd done movies with Master Chief,
and of course,
and then spin-off series like about Fall of Reach that Master Chief didn't actually have a role in, right, but connected to the main story arc,
right?
I think it would have been received very differently.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because after you get the Master Chief and Cortana story going in you know, the main storyline and the main films and TV shows, then you can do a side story, you know, film like Rogue One or a TV show like House of the Dragon, where they just, you know, grabbed encyclopedia stuff and created the story. That's when you could have had a Reach, and you have all these new characters that were on Reach that fought that battle and lost or escaped and survived. But yeah, that's the problem. I don't know. You said it better than me, Mike. And I'm just,
I mean, I looked like, and this last year, there were three movies that came out that I can think of off the top of my head that did really well financially. And did a lot of fan service, and then depending on who you ask, the how well reviewed they were, but left the fans satisfied, and that was Mario Brothers, Barbie, and Five Nights at Freddy's.
And what about those three again?
Those were films that were based on existing IP.
Yep.
They were loaded with fan service. And I wasn't a big fan of Five Nights at Freddy's, but it was at least passable.
Yeah.
And it used it had the characters that you expected to see. It sort of kind of stuck, from what I understand, to the basic story of one of the games. You know, certainly Super Mario was like really just orgasms, just fan service all over the place.
That was probably the best of the three films, to be honest.
And Barbie, certainly like the opening 20 minutes or so of Barbie. I mean, I never played with a Barbie in my life, but I saw the damn toy commercials, you know, so I could see like the toy ads or whatever. And I was like, okay, I recognize that. I get that joke.
Yep. I've watched, Barbie's Dream House, show hundreds of times with my kids. And that's like an animated, show of Barbie, and you're right, it looked like that. The first 20 minutes of Barbie looked just like that, and so the IP, it looked like the IP.
Yep.
It did. Yeah, and it had all the main characters in the IP too, you know, and all three of them were fairly close to the IP. They did some changes with Five Nights at Freddy's. They turned the boy into a girl for some reason, probably for check boxes and stuff. But you know, they kept the girl security guard. They kept the same monsters and stuff and whatnot. So it all worked out there, even with the change. And then obviously, like you said, the Mario Brothers movies, that was just phenomenal. Whether you were fan service or not, it was a great film. And then Barbie, you know, was a phenomenon in itself. And that worked, all three of them. You know, they got the fans and made them generally happy. And they got people who weren't fans that were generally happy just for entertainment purposes. I guess.
And like Barbie, they made appealing to children and adults.
Well, actually, the other one did too, Mario Brothers as well.
Yeah. That one too. So, I mean, that's, you couldn't really do that with Five Nights at Freddy's.
No, that was a little tough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, for here, Halo, you know, like you said, Barrett, your wife kind of likes the show, you know, and the critics love the show because none of them probably played the video game. So as a sci-fi show, yeah, this is pretty good. It's decent, you know, but, yeah, even with their flaws, with the weird flaws like Atkinson, you know, retconning and all the other weird stuff they've been doing. But, you know, if it wasn't called Halo and it was just called, you know, Starfire or something, you know, I'll take a look, you know, it's decent, whatever.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have expectations, right? You'd be like, okay, well, this I didn't even know we were going to get to a Halo that's not, you know, whatever.
Well, and they kind of even screwed up talking about Halo in this episode, which is they're saying, like, they were going to take it as a weapon to kill off the humans. But that's not what I understand the Covenant. The Covenant wants the Halo so they can blow up the entire universe,
yes,
including themselves.
Well, that would kill the humans.
Right. But they made it sound like they were going to use it as a weapon to enslave humans, because that's what they're talking about. They want the weapon so they can wipe us out and then, you know, take over the universe or whatever they said. And it was like, everything he's saying, that's not what they would say if you were talking. You would say they want that Halo because they're religious fanatics that just want to nuke the whole world, universe, because they think they're going to go to, you know, heaven or Allah, whatever the Norse place is called. So Valhalla. So, they're even changing that too.
We have no idea why they want the Halo.
Well, that's another problem, is if you don't haven't followed the games, you have no idea that the Covenant is religious fanatics. Really.
Very little. I mean, and what their goal is and why and yeah. Like, I mean, right now, basically Halo, because they said it can create life, it can destroy life. Halo is the Genesis Project from Star Trek The Wrath of Khan.
Yes.
And you know what they did in the beginning of The Wrath of Khan? They had Pixar in its screen debut, animated sequence showing you exactly what the Genesis device did. Right, how, and it showed it creating a world. So they made it perfectly clear to audiences what the hell was going on. I don't know if it wasn't for the fact that there's the word Halo in the title. I don't know that anybody would really have a good idea as to what the hell is going on here.
Right.
Well, they're aliens. They must want to kill us. And we must want to kill them because they're aliens. So that's all you need, right?
It's just, yeah. And this is, I don't think this is not as, I think, unsalvageable as I found American Gods after its second season, which was just an utter disaster. But this is pretty negligent, I think, in my opinion. It's a failure to understand the material. It's a failure to do decent storytelling, to communicate basic things to the audience. And, all right, maybe I'm too much of an idiot to pick up on some of these things. But you have a sci-fi show in which a mountain of a human being is supposed to fight aliens, and you've found a way to make it kind of boring.
And you have a huge IP universe,
right,
that you could grab pieces from, and you don't.
Yeah, right. You have a thing that could be like that is like a iconic franchise for a generation. You could turn this into the next, I don't want to say the next Star Wars, but you could turn it into something big. They could have made this the next Game of Thrones, right? Or even, you know, at the very worst, Jack Reacher. It's like, and you blew it. You're blowing it, and you're blowing it hard. And I'm rooting for you. I really want you to figure this shit out. But damn it, next, new showrunners, please. Someone who actually understands what
the hell is
going
on. Third time's a charm. That's what I got to hope for, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't believe they can do another season like this if there is another season, because they've already done it twice, and it's nothing that anybody wants to see that follows the IP, you know. And again, why? And Mike, you're absolutely right. It's all check boxes. You know why did they have all these check boxes that have nothing to do? I mean, it's just like they want to put all these things into the game. I mean, into the show that is checkboxes, and everybody knows what I'm talking about. I don't have to say what it is, and we've talked about it. But I mean, like you said, all right, we need a little girl. Let's make her Asian, and then we don't know what to do with her. It's like, why didn't they just make an Asian, instead, if you already have
Asian Soren,
if you already, yeah, exactly. If you already have Soren as, and as you know, the black guy, and then Vi, I think that's her name, right? The one that got hurt, disabled. She's Riz. She's biracial, the actress. Then you have the woman in Kai along with Riz, but you know, the woman, she's just white. And then you have Vanek, who's black. You could have turned any of those characters into an Asian character, an Asian woman character, if you really needed have a checkbox, instead of making up some fake character that is terrible. You know?
But she's kind of like a Jedi, so it's really cool.
Oh my god! And there's no Jedi shit in Halo. There is no Jedi mind power, mystic, psychic, sonic, anything in that in Halo. It's all science fiction. And when I say science fiction, I'm talking about computers, guns, machines, and that's it.
Well, that's just like Dune 2. There's no actual telepathy in those books. The most you get is them talking to their ancestors in their head.
Right. But they don't even have that in Halo. Halo has nothing like that. Dune, that's fine, because at least Dune has that, some of that mysticism stuff in it. The book, even if it's not as blatant as we see in the movie. Halo has nothing like that. It's supposed to be like 2001 something like that, where with in 200 years from now or 300 years from now, that's what it's supposed to be. You know, it has even less than Star Trek. It's all, and I know we had a debate about hard science fiction the other day. What does that really mean? But it is supposed to be military science fiction, similar to Robert Heinlein. Who did you say, Mike?
Yeah, it's Heinlein, Starship Troopers.
Yeah, Heinlein, yeah.
Starship Troopers, yeah.
Yeah, it's supposed to be just like Heinlein. That's the type, or Arthur C. Clarke or something like that. That's the type it is. There's no mysticism, no telepathy, no sonics, no ghosts, no spirits, nothing. And they just...
No armor, no helmets.
Yeah.
No Halo.
No Halo. That's funny. So I don't know why they did that. Why they have a Quan character? Why do they have a Mackie character who has a sonic psychic connection with the Master? And there's nothing that's in the 17 episodes we've seen that has any reasons for them to have that connection anyway.
Well, I still it was in this was world. Quan was a peon to the Chinese audience or something, and you know, they just said, like, we watch Halo, they watch, Quan, Planetary Adventurer, you know, and they're wondering why do you have this big white guy, you know, in the show, and all we want to do is see more Quan.
Then instead of Keys is white in the game. If you were going to race swap them, why didn't they choose an Asian actor then for China instead of making a kid? That with mysticism, it's stupid.
I don't know. I'm just saying they're trying to hit as many demographics as they can.
But you know, why
that
Quan?
Is definitely that is absolutely a part of it. And
why Quan? You're right. It's definitely a part of it. 100%. It's the pure written DEI stuff that they do in everything now. And it is what it is, whatever. But if you're going to do it, even if you disagree with it, but if you're going to do it, why not do it with a real character instead of changing the IP completely with Quan?
My question is, can you double down on a double down of a double down? Because I want to see them do that.
You can triple down on a double down on a double down.
Yeah. I don't know. I know, DEI pisses people off and even kind of ruins things that sometimes it doesn't matter. You can just swap people. It's not a big deal. At least Caucasian people, because Caucasian folk can't even play minority characters in cartoons anymore. But the thing is, I mean, it's true.
Bad writing and showrunners who admit they didn't source out the source material. That's what really ruins stuff.
Well, I think the DEI is kind of stupid. It can ruin stuff for sure. But it's also the IP, changing the IP, as you said, Sean. There's no reason to do that. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know,
the DEI stuff has obviously reached its ultimate conclusion, where it just, you know, everything's messed up because of it.
Yeah, the DEI is in everything now. Everything. And it's so blatantly obvious. You know, and it is what it is.
I think it reached the apex with that Google AI?
Gemini.
Where it said, you know, show me a Nazi, and it came up with like an Asian woman in an SS uniform. No, here's the thing.
The best one, Mike, was show me a slave owner, and it had a black guy as the slave owner.
There actually were black slave owners.
No, but the black slave owner was in the US of A, not from, I think I
was under the impression there was like one or two. But no, I do want to know who said, oh, we have a new AI. Go ahead, ask it anything. Who asks it? The first thing it goes, let me see a Nazi. that was the first thing. Like, let me see boobs. Nope. Let me see it. I want to see a Nazi. Thank you, please.
Kind of feels like a setup to me, but it doesn't matter either way. It's stupid.
Oh, yeah. The AIs will shut down. They say, I'm sorry, I can't answer that right now because they aren't allowed to because it's you're asking about an opinion about something. And it's so stupid.
Yeah. No, we can't show you this because you might use it for evil.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm going to use it for evil. I'm evil.
That's the whole point.
But back to this show here, the main problem, disregarding the DEI, which did take me out, but you know it's in everything now. Is what are you going to do?
They had it with their core. So I don't know if that's specifically it here. I think it's not DEI that did Quan, and I think it was marketing to Asian audience. That would be my guess.
Well, it seems fair.
Yeah, that seems fair. I don't know why they didn't just have that person as Paranowski's character. Obviously, Paranowski's character was supposed to be a Caucasian white guy or white woman because that's a Polish name. But whatever.
Exactly.
You know, why didn't they just?
Are you saying she doesn't look Polish to you?
No. She does not look Polish. I'm Polish. She's not Polish.
She's definitely not Polish because I looked her up. She was a famous actress in India when she was younger. But
given, I imagine, you know, this is the Haloverse, 500 years worth
Polish Indians
of crossbreeding that I wouldn't be shocked to see somebody like last names kind of lose their origins.
Sure. That's fair. But I don't think that was intentionally the point they were trying to make.
They
screwed up and they had Paranowski and then they just.
They were intending that, you make it for your audience. Your audience isn't going to go and look at that and go, "What? That's stupid."
Yeah, it's just. But I see your point, Mike. There's no doubt that you know you have people with different ethnic backgrounds that have different ethnic names, but again, I don't think that was the point here. The point here, even with the DEI there, the point here is they did not follow the game, the IP, and the type of stuff that Heinlein and Clark wrote, which has no mysticism and none of that stuff, and they have it here, and I don't get it. The whole Quan story with her seeing that woman in red that has nothing to do with Quan made no sense to me. It's just stupid. Everything's stupid about the show. It really is. It's just terrible. It's not as bad as some other shows I've seen. I'll tell you that.
No, it's definitely not.
But it ruins the source material compared to a lot of other shows too. That's for sure.
Fear the Walking Dead makes this look like Lawrence of Arabia.
Oh God. Sure. Fair enough.
At least once you get to like season 4 and 5, and then every
season after that. God, that was so bad. But yeah, this is not good. And seriously, I'm telling you right now, if there is a third season, and if there is a third season of this podcast, I don't know that I could do it unless there is yet another showrunner change. And I want sworn affidavits. I want the new showrunner. I want them on a guillotine first night. And there's going to be a fan vote as to whether or not that blade is dropped. That'll get me to watch it. That'll get me convinced that they actually paid attention this time. Other than that, I don't know if I could do this again because this is not fun. And I apologize to our audiences who have been hearing this for 8 weeks now, or 7 weeks now, 6 weeks, because they did the two episodes in one shot. Yeah. And I do think, you know what, and remember, I want to know what the critics think now. Because the critics liked it for the first four episodes, which took us through Reach. And it wasn't perfect, but it had a goal, it had a plot, the characters had things that they were doing, characters were converging and promising. In the way that it was set up and shot, that we were going to end up having these characters doing things that mattered, mattered to each other, and not just going off on a side quest to find their child. I don't think they've fulfilled that. I think they've gone even. It just took a couple episodes to completely derail the show.
And bringing in the new showrunner. And then the new showrunner screwing it up as much as the first showrunner. It's disgraceful. I know Mike likes talking about, you know, the directors should have more power, and that's a fair thing. And a lot of the people say that.
It depends on the director, depends on the material.
Right. But again, we know that's fine with a movie because a movie is a movie. Here, it's a showrunner, so a showrunner should be the boss, and yet the showrunner is a moron too. So this is when the executive should get in and say, you know what, TV shows are a little different than a movie. Maybe. I don't know. But I think they have to say more than the showrunners if the showrunners are just hired guns. Because it seems like these showrunners are just hired guns. It wasn't like the Game of Thrones guys who came up with that, you know, idea and to work with Martin and, hey, it was great to show. It's awesome books. Let's do it. Because, you know, or Frank Darabont in the season one of Walking Dead, you know, that or season two, you know, that was his idea. He says, oh, yeah, I want to do this with this guy. Most of the time, showrunners, I'm finding out, are just hired guns. They're not even the boss. So it's like I don't know.
It depends, and you get good showrunners, and who protect the show. They protect their people, and I'm well aware that like Joss Whedon's reputation as an asshole has kind of emerged in the last couple of years. But I know when he was doing Buffy, and when he was doing Buffy and Angel and Firefly, there was a lot of stories about him just kind of like intercepting notes, you know, so that they wouldn't. They would just kind of ignore what they were being told. When you get a good show, Vince Gilligan on Breaking Bad, right? They tend to know how to handle the suits, and they can get out the thing that they want to get out, and make it as they want to make it with minimal interference.
Right.
And that's usually when you get good shows. And then when you get good shows that lose their vision, like every show that Brian Fuller has ever done that he left after one or two seasons. Or Game of Thrones, where they ran out of writing material. It shows.
Yeah.
But it does. The showrunners, the director is the heart of films, generally speaking. Whether they have to be or not is a whole other matter. But that is how Hollywood runs right now, is through the auteur theory. But TV shows, it's the writers' room. It's the showrunner and the writers' room are really what tend to govern it.
So this makes me think, because the Stand miniseries that we all absolutely loved was a CBS production, and this is what Paramount Plus is now. So did they not like learn anything? I'm assuming they didn't, because
probably I have no idea how that was received outside of outside of you fellows.
It was received fairly bad by both critics and audiences. It was like 60 something for critics, and audiences it was like really low. So because most of the critics probably read the book, right? And then when they're watching it, they go, what the fuck is this? You know, because Stephen King is huge, right? So a lot of people, you know, probably read that source material. Not everybody plays video games.
Yeah, so, and The Stand is a lot like Dune in that it's a book that an awful lot of people seem to have read, even people who don't necessarily follow the genre.
Right.
Well, and so, one of the commonalities I see between The Stand and Halo is the arrogance of the people writing it that think they know better than the source material.
Yeah,
I think that's a huge problem.
Right. Yeah, that's.
I think that about Denis Villeneuve too, as far as Dune is concerned, because he has the same instincts. I mean, at some point, yeah, you have to say I'm the one that's creating this in this medium, but there is some arrogance involved in being a director or creator of something like this.
I don't know about that. I think they're tweaking things. First of all, they're tweaking things for the time, but they're mostly tweaking things for the format, and that's necessary in any adaptations. It's not that
I don't agree with that. I think they often think they know better. I don't think they know the hidden desires of the author. There's quotes directly from all of these different ones saying how they either didn't play the game, or they think that a certain character is a protagonist, or that, you know, like in Dune, Paul is the anti-hero.
But he is.
No, in your opinion, that's just
no. That was the point. But
no, I don't believe it was.
Well, maybe not in the book, but I think in the movie.
Right. That's what I'm talking about.
In this series.
I don't agree with you on that.
I'm just talking about the first book. In the first book, he was a hero.
He was absolutely the hero.
In the series, based off of what I've read, in the past couple of weeks, yeah, he seems like an anti-hero, even if it wasn't his choice and he
saves the human race. I can't consider that the anti-hero.
That's what makes it an anti-hero and not a villain.
Yeah, especially when you wipe out 60 billion people, that's kind of sucks.
But it was the only way that it could be done. It does suck, but it was the only way it could be done.
It's tough. I see your point, though, Bear. But
getting back to my feeling that, you know, there is a certain level of arrogance to these people that are creating stuff. I mean,
yeah,
it's there. I hear it. I read it.
Yeah,
and it's just
you see it.
Yes. You see the results. Yes, Harold is the protagonist.
Oh God!
Oh my God! That was the stupidest friggin' thing I ever seen. And it's like, why the hell did he say that? But yeah, it's these people who get these jobs. They're hired guns. They're not showrunners that love the source material and want to make. They're hired guns, a lot of them, at least like for The Stand and most certainly Halo. And it sucks, you know.
I think there are times that having a fresh perspective isn't a bad idea. I think Bryan Singer did a really good job reinventing the X-Men for the films.
I agree with that.
Because he was a stranger to the franchise, he approached it with fresh eyes. And then he did Superman and approached Superman because
that's just mean to bring up, Mike. That's just mean.
But the thing is, he was a big fan of Superman, but he saw it in a way as a gay man growing up, and a great gay kid growing up, and being feeling like an outsider. He identified with Superman being an outsider, and had just a weird take on Superman. He said, "Let me make Superman a deadbeat dad," and it's like,
No, that's
but that, but that, but that's not, but that's not the that's source not material. It. So he's phony too.
No, he's not a phony. He just has his own take that is way out of line with what everybody else has.
But that's a phony because that's not the source material. So I don't care if he likes Superman or not. If he's not going to follow the source material, he's a phony.
No, he's not a phony, Phil.
I'm
he just has a different take.
Well, and people would say that about Zack Snyder's Superman as well.
It's a different take. I don't think he's a fake fan. I think he just has a different take that's out of alignment with what a lot of people feel.
I didn't say he's a phony fan. I said he's a phony, meaning he took a source material and he made a film that he wanted to make a point in rather than taking a story that he loved.
No, but he feels that was a point of that it was the point of appeal for most people with Superman, and for most people that's not it.
But that didn't happen in Superman. He wasn't a deadbeat dad.
No, that was a whole other thing. He just decided, like, to in making a sequel to that. But that's a whole that was just a bad story idea.
And it's not the source material; it's just stupid.
Well, again, a lot of changes in source. Anyway,
that's not just a change in the source material. That's a change in the character.
Character motivation.
Oh yeah, those were bad ideas. Just like I think there were bad ideas with.
I think some of the stuff that
Zack Snyder did.
I think what they should have done is what they did with One Piece, which is it was a hired gun, have the creator be sign on and participate. That doesn't work always because, as we saw, Last of Us didn't even have any zombies, and one of the two creators of that video game was supposedly a showrunner. But on One Piece, the executive producer and producer basically was the guy that wrote the source material. So I would have been fine with taking a real Halo fan that wants to follow the source material and not make them deadbeat dads take over and make a Halo series, and that would have been pretty good, I think. You know, there was always a chance that it could fuck up, but it would have at least been a better shot than
how hard is it to do military sci-fi? I mean, come on. You've got the easiest subject matter possible. War and sci-fi.
Especially when you have a whole IP right there to grab.
Right.
You know, all they had to do was grab a couple of people on Twitch that never had anything to do with movies and just say, hey, come on in here and tell me what these games are about.
All they had to do was play the game once.
Right.
And they'd have an idea.
Yeah. They could have been hired to play all six games and you know, for a month and get full pay. That would have been great. Absolutely. That's what we should have done. I don't get any of it. Well, watch the video that you watched, Sean.
Yep. That didn't take that long.
No, again, if you're coming to the source material, at least find out why people like it.
Yeah.
Right.
You can match at least that. Figure out. Right. So
all you got to think about is it's a first-person shooter. What do they like about this game?
It must be the politics from the people, the side characters that we never needed to know about.
Well, and even then, it's more than just shoot them up. You like the character. Yeah. You like the aliens. You like the weapon. You know. You like the environment. You like Cortana.
What happened when the moms took over Nickelodeon. and they said, you know, we really think you need to get rid of all the gross out humor in Ren and Stimpy because what kids really like about is the friendship.
Yeah,
it's like
they sure do.
Now, back to Halo. There's this guy named Bradley Russell from Total Film, which is basically games writer, and he's written reviews for each episode and. He liked the first five episodes, and then when he gets to the sixth and seventh, he doesn't like them at all. And he goes, as much as I've enjoyed Halo this year, Onyx is a step backwards. And then he does the same thing on this episode as well. And let me find it here, what he says on that one, for the blurb. He writes, here we go, he goes, an episode that starts slow and never really clicks into place. Now,
yeah,
we mentioned that the I've noticed when you look at the reviews for the season, and again, on Rotten Tomatoes, only 18, which is kind of weird because usually for a show like this, you would have like 150 or something, which they did for season one. But everybody seemed to like the first four episodes. And then after, it starts going downhill. Is based on, or there's just no reviews on those episodes, you know, episodes after season, episode four. So 5, 6, and 7, they're, at least on Rotten Tomatoes, there's not many critic reviews for each episode.
Those 18, was it 18 reviews?
Yeah, 18.
Yeah, so those, what you're failing to account for, Phil, is that those 18 reviews represent 5% of all the Paramount Plus subscriber base, so.
Well, think about this. We should have been working this season towards the crescendo of major battle. And what we got was a beginning battle that not much happened in, and now we're at where the crescendo should be, and there's nothing happening.
Right.
And even, it's like even, we have silence.
And even though Reach was a pretty good action-packed episode, we had no suits of armor.
There should have been space battles for that. Something.
Yeah. Well, again.
And some of the deaths were dramatic crapola that you would see in Hollywood type stuff, you know? Like, well, key sacrificing. But did it,
I'm going to go out and fill the fuel but thing this, and
but,
get killed.
But Halo ain't Hollywood. They took Halo, but you know what? Put it in Hollywood, and then they say, let's have keys die the way he did, which was stupid. And let's have.
You're making military thing. It's sort of like if you're making a sports movie, you have to have the moment where the character, whatever, scores a touchdown, hits the home run, gets the strike.
But they weren't dramatic. They weren't dramatic.
Well, they maybe not have been done well, and that's also a matter of perspective. But
well, Reese's getting hurt was stupid. Vanek, that was probably legit. Keyes's was stupid. And then Cortana's capture was stupid. So there's a lot. I don't know, Mike. I'm not going to be as kind to you when it comes.
Right.
To
no. Like I would agree. The Cortana thing is dumb. So your goal was to lead the your goal was to lead the covenant the covenant to where everybody is. That's dumb. Lead them far away. Go lead them someplace that has nothing to do with humanity whatsoever. Don't lead them to you. That's stupid. There's whether like, and for somebody like, Keyes, it's a minor heroic, whatever death. I didn't care. I like Vanek's death.
But Keyes' death was ridiculous because he's surrounded by all the aliens. They could have just shot him.
He was killed filling the Cadillac.
Yeah, it was just bizarre that you had all the aliens there surrounding him, the jackals. And the jackals aren't even doing anything. They're just standing there for some reason, and it made no sense. And they know he's talking to someone on the ship and allowing that to happen. It was just stupid.
And Riz was a carryover, I think, from last season. I like that arc so personally. With the character, because I think that's, again, you're going to explore a little bit as to what it means. And I appreciate that. Again, I don't care that they maybe didn't do that in the game, but I appreciate the idea that they're looking at different aspects of being a Spartan. But the main thing is that the fuck could still be on Master Chief, and those should be side characters that you explore that in.
They can
swap characters in and out of the squad.
They also made it feel like these Spartans are the only four in the universe, too.
Yes,
because you don't see others. Just
right. And, yeah, and, I they mean, were, and they got they're getting rid they got rid of two already, and most likely the third one's going to.
Right, and that's kind of disappointing too. So it's like, yeah, I'm gonna the Spartans should be the crux of the story, not the end of the story.
Yeah, but they only made if I remember what I read correctly, like something 30-something Spartan 2s? There weren't a large number of them.
Were all of them gone by the time of the Halo game?
Of that I have no idea.
That's a good point.
It's looking like it right now.
Yeah, let me see how many Spartan 2s are. I'll ask Copilot. How many Spartan 2s were there in Halo? ? So it says. Copilot says. Blah blah blah. blah, blah, blah. Still does not answer my question. Okay, out of the initial roster of 75 candidates, only 33 successfully completed the augmentation.
So there were 33, the most notable of which was named Quan.
you would think we'd see at least one or two walking around that aren't part of their squad. I mean,
well, no, Perez is a spot of three. Sean, Perez is a spot of three.
Yeah. Well, and they killed off was a Cobalt squad.
Yeah.
Yes.
So but that should only be four.
Yeah, but they weren't all stationed on the same planet, were they?
I know. You think they'd all be at the front, wherever the front is.
Yeah, well, is there such a thing in a front in a space war?
Yes, there is.
Wow.
It can be large, but there's still a front.
There's always ways around.
But there's areas that you're trying to take. Spherical, but galaxy size. Who knows?
Yeah, so I don't know what it is. It's maybe Hollywood is a declining place. I don't know. TV maybe a declining place. I don't know.
Well, I think it's fair to say there's been all sorts of bad adaptations of things.
Yep.
You know, before we got going back to this Mario movie, you had the one with Bob Hoskins.
I love that movie, man.
Before you had Carl Urban's Judge Dredd, you had Sylvester Stallone's Judge Dredd. Now that doesn't always happen, but it often happens. They don't always get it right the first time, and we'll see what happens. And I still say that making movies may not be disarming bombs. But it can be difficult and it can be hard, and a lot of people put their blood and sweat into, or movies or TV shows, into these things to try to make them the best they can. And there's a lot of things out of their control that they don't know, and you don't see the final product until long after your hands are off and off of it, right? If you're a set designer, if you're a composer, if you're an actor, you have, and then sometimes it just fails. You don't know why. And I think in this case we know why. But really, what we need is to take the showrunners, because we need the ones from last year and for this year. We need to strap them down, give them some sodium pentothal, and ask them questions as to why they did the stupid shit they were doing.
True.
And it might very well just come out to be, well, we needed to put Quan in because we needed to appeal to this demographic, and we needed to do this to appeal to this demographic, and, we thought we needed this, and we wanted to tell this outsider's perspective, and we wanted to really get to find out what makes Master Chief tick, because we really felt that that's what the fans wanted.
Well, it could come down to the exec said to do it this way.
Or the exec said to do this, or we just, honestly, the suits were a fucking nightmare to work with. The actors hated them. They were uncomfortable in them. They didn't like not having their faces seen. We couldn't do more action scenes because we didn't have that big of a budget. And you could go through all sorts of things that they can claim. Whether it's true or not, I would have no idea. But I'd least like to hear their reasoning for the dumb decisions they've been making. Or at least what seems to me to be dumb decisions. Maybe there's nuance I'm missing. I'm always perfectly happy to hear that, but I've not heard anyone
find those nuances. I would like to have that answered for most of Hollywood.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't
get it. That's why I am always far more interested, if there's a commentary track, to hear a commentary track by the writer or director of a film than I am by the actors that were in it.
Same.
Because the actors are trained monkeys.
Right. Yeah, they're getting paid check to do the film. Some of them do the films because they love it. There's people like John Cassavetes, which would go off and do a Hollywood film to get money, so then he could use that money to make his own films, and that's fine. But people do the films they do because they get paychecks, and they love their work, but they get paychecks. And same with directors and writers, but at least directors and writers are the people who are the artists that are, telling the stories. And to hear what they say, whether they're idiots because they screwed up the film, or whether they're angry because someone else screwed up the film, or whether the film is great because and they just want to talk about it. You know, it's more interesting. I concur. I never like the actor commentaries unless it's a second commentary that you, after the writer director
right.
commentaries.
I mean, sometimes they're fun. I can't remember what it was. I'm pretty sure I remember there was some DVD I had.
Games of Thrones.
No, where the actor did the commentary in character.
Oh, that's cool. I'd love to know what that one is. That's funny.
And then there's things like there was John Carpenter with Kurt Russell for the commentary on The Thing. I thought it was informative. But partly it's because John Carpenter was there. It wasn't Kurt Russell and Keith David. Right. So, but by and large, I always prefer to hear from the creators, except for William Friedkin. He sucks. I've heard a couple of his commentaries and they were not good. He clearly had no idea what to do. He's like, this is the scene. Raylan Burstyn holds up the candle and the candle in flames.
Now, anything else anybody want to talk about this episode of the series Halo? Because the thing that I oddly predicted on episode one was I'm very concerned about this season because the last episode is called Halo, and that means
so over under. Will we be on the Halo with 30 seconds left in the season? Yeah,
probably.
Or have more?
Oh, this is like how many camera shots of Taylor Swift will there be in the Super Bowl? 30 seconds or less.
Right.
Yeah, all right, yeah, I'm gonna throw all common sense away out the window, and I'm going to say that it's going to be more. I don't think it's going to be well under 20 minutes, but I can actually see it being a minute or more.
It's sad when you start at a minute.
I was gonna say that it was gonna be half the episode. I'm thinking they're gonna waste a time to get there, and then finally they're gonna be there. But I think most of the Halo that they're gonna show is just the grass. You know, because it's basically a grassy internal planet-like thing. And then there's an underground and the bases where the Forerunner is created that are underneath it. I don't think we're going to see much of that. We saw the one glimpse of it this episode when Halsey, Quan, and Keyes, you know, go in there. But I think the Halo we're going to see is maybe 30 minutes of a planet. I don't know.
What are you looking at?
10 minutes.
So we've got 30 seconds, a minute to 20 minutes.
What about
10 minutes and 30 minutes?
What about you, Sean?
Well, that's what I'm saying. 30 seconds. 30 seconds. Oh, minutes. Okay.
Yeah. Going on, yeah. It's really unfortunate when you have a second season and you still don't have Halo. And the show's called Halo, and you don't have Master Chief's outfit. That's just ridiculous. You know, it's just stupid. And I don't care about the nitpicking anymore about, you know, him not wearing his helmet. I don't want to see him with the – I don't want to see Schreiber. I want to see him with the helmet on, just like Dredd in The Mandalorian and any creature movie where, you know, like Gollum. I want to see what we're supposed to see.
At least with Mando, when he had to, like, explain why he took his helmet off, and then he had to go and make good for doing that because of the Mandalorian code, at least they, like, they addressed it. And they made a sense of it. There's no sense to this. Like, again,
But you know what? The Mandalorian, even though that's an IP, the Mandalorian is kind of brand new in the universe of Star Wars, and so they got to make up the rules. So it wasn't like there was a book that they took that says he never takes off his helmet. You see? So it's okay for me with Mandalorian because they made that that way. They said, you know what, we're going to have him wear the helmet the whole time, and then we'll make this rule up, and he takes it off, and this will explain it. Boom, stunt. Here, he never takes off his helmet ever in the game. And yet we've seen him with the helmet on maybe for that, like you said, Mike, Taylor Swift, 30 seconds at the Super Bowl. And that's it. That's always we've seen him with the helmet on for two seasons.
The helmet can't be that heavy.
Two seasons. It's stupid. Two seasons and he doesn't have the helmet on at all.
Shit, this whole season was without the armor except for the first episode. I mean, that's ridiculous in itself. It's a fighting show.
We are not acknowledging that the opening sequence has him with the special effects of the armor. So technically, every episode of season two, he's worn the armor. It was for 5 seconds.
Yeah, in the credits, right.
In the credits.
Yeah, in the credits.
Come on. Yeah.
All right. So, anything else anybody wanted to discuss about this episode here?
I want to say that it's more the podcast we do is far more enjoyable than the series so far. So, thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. All right, so I think that's it. So I guess we can get into our final thoughts on the episode and what we're predicting for the season finale. But before we do, we do want to apologize to anybody who's upset about us trashing the show because that wasn't our point of the podcast. We were expecting what we see in the video game or at least in the IP. And unfortunately, it hasn't done that. So we're somewhat unhappy about it. But either way, that's just how it is. It's our opinion. If you don't like it, we apologize. But we shouldn't even have to apologize. It's just our opinion.
Well, some of it's just bad writing. Just let's be honest. It has nothing to do with Ayla. It's just how they.
Oh yeah. We're not ripping the IP. This has nothing to do with the IP. Yeah. This has to do with what creators on CBS Paramount decided to do with this television show, and this has nothing to do with with the IP. Nothing.
Or the actors.
Yeah. So we're not ripping. Yeah, that's exactly right. We're not ripping human beings that are on the screen or the original IP. We're ripping the people who created the show and put it together and wrote it. Both the showrunners one, showrunners two, and then I guess the producers too. I don't even know who those are. I would assume they're the showrunners, but whatever. Anyway, all right, before we get into our final thoughts, Mike, what's that main podcast that me, you, Eric, and Barrett do?
The Dark Discussions podcast. It's a podcast where we do not talk about how we failed to adapt Halo. We talk about other things, mostly horror film fiction and all that is fantastic, and we've been doing it since 2011, and we seem to have no idea when we're ever going to stop. So we're just come along for the ride.
Yeah, and we just re-upped the website for another 2 years.
Nice.
Yep. So the Patreon, because it started in March of 2011, so it had to be brought up.
Talk about the fees that Sean was talking about with Patreon, that's really where it goes. I know Eric Webster, who's on. He often cites the fact that we need to pay to see the movies. I don't know about Eric, but Phil has never compensated me for paying to rent or buy any film we've ever done. All the money is going to pay for like the server fees and all that horseshit. So that's what keeps it going.
Yeah. It was only 1 year. Some of the money was also used for the very first Mystic meetup where it never grew. The Patreon as big as we would hope. So that got cut out. So all the money basically goes straight to the server fees. Two of them now, because originally it was just one server fee, but as we expanded, we split off the hosting of the MP3s to a different website, a different hosting site. So now the website and the host and the podcast MP3s are on two different hosting areas. So the fees went up as well. And that was because of spaces and making things more quicker and whatnot for folks. So it gets expensive, and you know, generally it's in the red, but anything like Sean mentioned and Mike mentioned will help. So yeah, none of it goes to paying to watch movies, really. And Barrett, what's that podcast that me and you do that has other co-hosts join us? We talk about stuff.
That is the Halloween Boutique Psychotronic Reviews. We talk about all sorts of things. We talk to directors. We talk to writers. We review books. We review movies, mostly genre stuff. Yeah, and that's pretty much it.
And Sean, what was that Netflix television series that we did a podcast on? We'll probably do a podcast on season two when that comes out, just wrapped up.
That would be Bo Hancock and the One Piece, based on the live-action One Piece series on Netflix, which is absolutely phenomenal. And if you haven't watched it, treat yourself, because it is a damn good series. It is shows you, when you do the IP right, you can do great stuff with, like, writing and characters. So.
Yeah, they changed, did some DEI in that, too. But even with the DEI, it shows, as long as they stick to the IP, where the showrunner or the producer is the writer, and he had full control of some of the J.K. Rowling did for Harry Potter, you can do it right, even with some changes that are done. And I've seen some of the manga, and I mean some of the anime, and read some of the manga, and Kevin Letts, who does the podcast with us, he's still going. He's done the first 18 seasons or something of the anime. Wow. He says it's spot on. It's following the universe and the IP really well. So I concur. And I've seen that too with Nier Automata, the video game that became an anime show. And that anime show is unbelievable in the sense that, first of all, it's a great show, but it also follows the IP perfectly. Even expands some of the smallest stuff without changing stuff. So it's pretty good. And Mike, what's that podcast that me, you, and Eric do? Because some films didn't fit on Dark Discussions.
Oh, because we all have nothing better to do than just keep making more and more podcasts. It is the Cinema a la Carte podcast, where we basically finally decided we got tired of arguing over whether certain movies qualify for Dark Discussions or not. And so whenever that argument arises, thus comes Cinema a la Carte. And Cinema a la Carte is basically the place for the three of us to discuss films that do not comfortably fit within the parameters of Dark Discussions, which again is for all horror film fiction and all that's fantastic. And so we have covered on that podcast both newer movies and older films, but we have leaned more older films. For instance, we have covered In the Bedroom. We have covered Michael Clayton and History of Violence. Those are films that Phil picked. Jack Reacher and The Edge and Hostiles were films that Eric had picked. And then I had picked, like, The Sign Adventure and 12 Monkeys and Flash Gordon were some of the ones that I had picked to do. So they're kind of all over the place in terms of genre. We've done everything from animation to Western to just drama and drama. So, yeah, give us a try.
All right, sounds good. All right, so let's get into our final thoughts on this episode here. So I'll start. I actually kind of enjoyed the episode, but again, Mike called me out. It was because of the cookies, and that's it.
Nothing wrong with that. Cookies are good. Cookies are delicious.
Right, right. But you know, you need more than just a couple of cookies, you know? You need...
Not when you have had cookies in a while.
Yeah, so I've actually, after talking about it, have become more disappointed with the episode than I originally thought. Especially now when you think about it, it's episodes 7, the penultimate, and there's no Halo still. And he just gets his suit of armor. too. It's just terrible. So disappointment all in all, but mostly for the season, not necessarily for the episode. So yeah, let's go with you, Barrett.
Yeah, I mean, this was a very slow episode to me, and it wasn't what I was looking for.
Yeah, you get closer to your mic.
Can you hear me now? Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, this wasn't what I was looking for in a penultimate episode. It was disappointing. It was slow. I expected much more. I mean, this should have been where we got to Halo, and then the end of the crescendo should have been the resolution episode, which is next, and that's not where we're getting. So, anyway. Not happy with the episode.
That's a fair point. As a penultimate episode, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Let's go with you, Mike.
Yeah, I fundamentally this was an okay episode. There were things in it I did like. I felt like they were trying to do some things here, and then there were things that just, I was happy that they had Master Chief use his celebrity status to survive being arrested. And then there are things like what they did with Soren that just drove me nuts. And just the idea that they're finally sending Master Chief off to Halo, which is where everyone has wanted the show to go for 3 years now, right? 2.5 years now. And he's, I just know he's making a U-turn. He's going to make a U-turn to go save Perez and Guy and we're not going to get to Halo if we're lucky. It's not going
to
be.
Or Quan will get to Halo.
Yeah, or Quan's going to get to Halo, or McKee's going to get to Halo. I think that's where we're going. So I find that disappointing. I will look forward to exploring more of this universe, you know, in the next episode. But man, I really am questioning whether or not there's going to be another season after this, because I am not seeing anything really positive about the show right now.
Yeah, and I looked up again today and still hasn't been announced a third season. So yeah, it may be one of those things where they'll just quietly cancel it, similar to how Netflix does things or how American God was canceled and so on by AMC. Let's go with you, Sean.
Yeah, I probably liked it the least out of all of us here. I'm just so tired of a show that's supposed to be based on something that's not, because we didn't like the material or we didn't bother to read the material, and we're throwing you a bunch of other stuff that if this was a generic sci-fi show that had nothing to do with a specific IP, that may be one thing, but it's not. And then you throw in terrible writing. Again, nothing against the actors. They're doing the best they can with just terrible material. And it sucks because I wanted to like the series. I wanted to be able to enjoy each episode. And they have done everything to make that not possible for me. So we'll see what happens in episode 8. But I do not have my hopes up, or I'm holding my breath.
All right, sounds good. Once again, this is the penultimate episode that we just reviewed. It was called Thermopylae. Next week's episode, coincidentally, is called Halo. That's coming out March 21st, 2024. We should have an episode recorded on the 25th of March, and for release of the 26th of March. That's the plan. So that's our opinion on this episode. You can email us once again at darkdiscussions@aol.com. Just put Halo in the subject, and whatever your subject is, if it's not hate mail, we will read your email on the podcast. And with all that stated, Mike, why don't you lead us out?
Well, we do thank you once again for actually listening to the Cortana Communiques, a show, a podcast on the Halo-ish TV show on Paramount Plus. Please tune in again next week for the final episode of Season 2, Halo. Episode of Halo that may or may not have Halo. My guess is more not. But anyway.